You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 26th of July 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got a really positive news story to get into today where two white men have won a case against being discriminated against. A creative worker at a top advertising agency today said he felt like he had a target on his back when he was fired after a gay female director vowed to obliterate the firm's Mad Men reputation of being full of white, British, straight men. Now that is obviously discriminating against white, British, straight men, isn't it? She wants to obliterate a reputation of being full of white, British, straight men. And what is the reputation that white, British, straight men have then? Are they saying that white British straight men have a bad reputation? Britain used to have a very good reputation throughout the world. White people have a very good reputation throughout the world. Do homosexuals somehow have a better reputation? This is clear discrimination against whites. And the fact she's using a term such as obliterate, I mean, that shows that she's being quite hostile, isn't it? Isn't she? But she's not saying wants to obliterate white British men. She's saying she wants to obliterate this organisation's reputation. Chaz Bayfield and colleague Dave Jenner, who were among five men axed from J. Walter Thompson after bosses urgently wanted to address its poor gender pay gap, have expressed relief after winning a sex discrimination claim against the company. So it was actually five white men that were sacked from this company due to a poor gender pay gap. Now, why do we have this gender pay gap? Well, the reason for the gender pay gap is because women take more time off than men. They get pregnant, and when they get pregnant, they have to have time off. When they have the baby, they have to have time off. So they don't do so many hours. That's why there is a gap there between what men and women earn. Also, you don't get so many women that have these high qualifications. Are women going to be qualified to do a high-powered job like this that requires you to basically be on the job 24 hours a day? Are women going to be able to do that? If the bosses thought that somebody was capable of doing the job, I'm sure they would give them the job. It's not that they've been saying, well, we don't want to employ this person who is obviously qualified for the job simply because she's a woman. I mean, nobody says that, particularly not today where there is this big diversity drive to employ as many women as possible at the expense of men that may well be better qualified for the job. A damning gender pay gap report had sent shockwaves through the firm as it highlighted there was a serious lack of female representation, a tribunal heard. So why should that be seen as a problem? Surely it should only be seen as a problem if the firm is losing money, losing contracts, getting complaints about the work that it's doing. But apparently it wasn't. This was a top firm. I wonder what the satisfaction with the firm will now be now that they have more women involved, rather than having men involved. The people that were used to what the advertising firm were doing before, they may not be happy with what the advertising firm are doing now. That's what is important. Not what race or gender the people are that are doing this. I mean, we've always been told that we should not be judging people by their race or their gender. And now we're being told, no, you have to judge everybody by race and gender, and you have to replace all the white people with blacks and non-whites and women. Otherwise, you'll be accused of discriminating against them somehow. How can you be discriminating against anybody if you have a meritocracy and you say, well, the best person for the job gets the job, the person with the most qualifications gets the job? Surely that is the way to enforce equality, not to have quotas for the number of women that have to be employed. Female creative director Jo Wallace, 44, was appointed to help lose the company's Knightsbridge Boys Club reputation and jointly held a diversity conference called Crisis, the Mother of All Change. I mean, why would you want to lose a Knightsbridge Boys Club reputation? Surely Knightsbridge Boys Club probably has a very good reputation, I would have thought. Miss Wallace, who introduced herself as a gay woman, told the conference, "One thing we all agree on is that the reputation JWT once earned as being full of white British privileged men has to be obliterated." Why would you want to obliterate a reputation that you had earned, that you had worked hard to earn? And quite clearly here, this woman, her identity is based around her sexual proclivities. She's introducing herself as a gay woman because she wants to be seen as being homosexual. She wants that to be the major point. That's her major selling point, is that she's homosexual. It's got nothing to do with advertising, but just who she sleeps with. And that's nepotism. Being given a job because of who you sleep with is something that was always frowned on in the past. It was seen as nepotism. You know, the boss giving his girlfriend a job. And it's the same thing here, isn't it? They're saying, well, we're going to give you a job because of who you sleep with, because you happen to sleep with your own gender. So that's the highest qualification that you can have now to get a job, is who you sleep with. We're going backwards, aren't we? When Mr. Bayfield, who made the famous Blackcurrant Tango St. George ad, and Mr. Jenner expressed valid concerns over the safety of their jobs, bosses reacted furiously and took it as a challenge to their new diversity drive, and then they made them redundant. So the minute they questioned this and said, well, hang on a minute, if you're going to be doing this, that means you're going to be sacking the men to take on the women, they responded by sacking them and saying, well, quite clearly you don't support diversity then. Mr. Bayfield said today, there is a part of me that feels guilty that these laws that were put in place to protect minorities in the workplace, as they should be, have protected a couple of middle-aged, straight British men. But it is also right, the judge found in our favour, because it wasn't right. Well, hang on a minute, Mr. Bayfield. This is what's happening. This is what these laws do. They are there to discriminate against white people, and they claim that is okay because it's positive discrimination. It's affirmative action. But that is essentially what it is. It just means discriminating against whites in favour of non-whites, which is what we've been told we've been doing the other way around all this time, which of course we haven't been. You always give the job to the person that is most qualified for it. If you didn't do that, then you would soon run your business into the ground. Mr. Bayfield continues, "I definitely agreed that there had to be a way to address the diversity issues, but I don't think it was gone about in the right way." Well, the way to address these diversity issues is to just have a meritocracy. And then if you don't have many women in the job, or you don't have many ethnic minorities in the job, then that's because they're not qualified to do the job. That's the common sense logical answer. It's not to say that people must be discriminated against them. And there are reasons for that. Maybe women aren't that good at advertising. Maybe ethnic minorities aren't that good at advertising. Why would they be good at these sorts of things? Haven't they traditionally been carried out by men? I mean, isn't that why this trade has a Knightsbridge Boys Club reputation? It's because men are good at doing these things, and they built up the reputation of the company, and now they're being told, oh no, you have to start replacing all the people that made the company so good with people that don't have any experience in doing this, simply because of what gender they are. He says, I remember feeling like I just had a target on my back. I remember thinking if I was a black 24-year-old woman, I'd be fine. If I'd have been gay, that would have been even better. But as a middle-aged white man, it felt like my job was in danger, and that's why we went to a lawyer. Well, he was right, wasn't he? His job was in danger because they did sack him. And he's right here saying that if he'd been a black 24-year-old woman, he would have been given the job, probably if he didn't even have any qualifications. There's an advert online at the moment for non-whites to join the police, and it says you don't even have to send a CV in. We'll fast-track you through the questionnaire. So you literally don't have to do anything at all if you're an ethnic minority and you want to join the police. If you're a white man, of course, you have to fill a CV out. You have to fill all the questions in, and then they'll probably write back to you and just say, well, we're not even going to bother inviting you in for the interview because we're really just looking for ethnic minorities so that we can bump up the diversity quota because we've been told that this will somehow make the police force so much better. There's no evidence to show that. The only evidence there is to show that any diversity at all is positive is if you have diversity of people that are already at the same standard or with the same qualifications. If you had people with all exactly the same degree in the same subject, and then and all speak in the same language, and then they were from, say, different parts of the country or different countries even, then you might get some different ways of doing things and it might actually be positive. But if you just have diversity for diversity's sake, that is not a positive at all. That is going to be to the detriment of the company. You're going to have people that don't understand what you're saying. You're going to have people that don't have the qualifications, people that aren't up to the standard of doing the job, and you're only ever as strong as the weakest link, aren't you? Really, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. There's nothing to, no studies that have ever been done to show that diversity for diversity's sake is ever anything positive. And yet we've been told that this is the greatest thing. This is a great strength. A spokesman for Mr. Jenner today added that he hoped the judgment would encourage more people to stand up to the cancel club. And that is positive, and hopefully we will see more people taking things like this to court now that some white men have actually won. But they didn't actually win because they were being discriminated against for their race, surprisingly enough. I mean, it was that because they were white that they were actually sacked. But it says here that it wasn't because of their race that the judge found in their favour. Miss Wallace, who used to work for Saatchi & Saatchi and lives with her fiancé in a £1.2 million house in trendy East London, and her fiancé is also black for extra brownie points, she wrote in an article last year, a hell of a lot of people are literally sleeping on the job when it comes to diversifying their creative department beyond white, pale, stale males. Well, surely that must be because their creative department are doing well. They are coming up with the goods. That's why they don't want to lose these people, just for the sake of being able to say, woohoo, we have lots of ethnic minorities and women on our creative team. If you've got a creative team that are already being very successful, why would you want to change it? Why would you want to tamper with something that is obviously working? Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner are in line to receive compensation from Wonderman Thompson after winning claims of sex discrimination, victimisation, harassment and unfair dismissal. They lost claims of age discrimination, race discrimination and sexual orientation discrimination after the judge ruled that they had no impact on their dismissal. And I really can't believe that. How can they say that race had no impact on their dismissal when the whole reason why they were dismissed is because they were white? They were saying that it was all to do with white males, and they don't want the organisation just to be seen as being white males. They wanted to get more women in there because of the pay gap. So that's why they were sacked. But what they are saying here is that it was just because they were male. But if they had been black males, would they still have been sacked? Of course they wouldn't, because if they'd sacked a black male, then that black person would have been able to claim racism and claim that it was racism was the reason why he was sacked. The complaint became a test case at a time when employers are trying to close gender wage gaps. JWT has one of the most unequal salary structures in the advertising industry, according to data released under government rules. Again, so why would it be an unequal salary structure? Well, it would be because the men had obviously done better than the women at the company. If the men are doing better than the women, they're going to be rewarded for it, aren't they? They're going to be given bonuses, they're going to be given increases in their salary. And if the women are not doing very well at it, then they're not going to be given these increases. I just find it impossible to believe that they're telling us that the heads of these successful businesses are somehow not rewarding women for doing a good job. It can't be that. It must be that the women aren't as good at the job as the men are. And also that the women aren't doing the hours that the men are. And that's just going to be logical, isn't it? Because they're going to get pregnant, they're going to have children. That is the natural thing to do. And then they're going to require lots of time off. And if they can't get somebody to look after the children, then they're going to want to bring the children into work. And that's going to be distracting. There are all sorts of reasons why there would be a gender wage gap that are nothing whatsoever to do with people discriminating against women. After the pay gap figures were published, JWT implemented a plan to increase diversity through methods such as unconscious bias training for staff and a blind recruitment policy, which would see details such as gender removed from job applications. Well, that's a nonsense, isn't it? Because what they actually did was sack the men so that they could get more women in. And if they have a diversity quota, you are forced to reveal your gender and your race and your ethnicity and your sexuality so that they can base the hiring upon those details. So claiming that they're going to have a blind recruitment policy, surely they must have had a blind recruitment policy before. They were just employing people on merit, on their qualifications. And now they're doing the opposite. Mr. Bayfield today said since his dismissal, he has struggled to find work, and Mr. Jenner has left advertising, adding that they have been perceived as whistleblowers in the industry. Now, that's an interesting term, that whistleblowers in the industry. So this means that lots of white men have been sacked in this industry, and these guys were the only ones brave enough and with the stamina enough to actually take this to court and say, look, this is wrong. You've sacked us because of who we are, not because of the work that we do. This must be going on throughout the industry if they're being seen as whistleblowers for doing this. The married father, now 54, of Cricklewood in London, said, we were concerned about diversity and female and minority representation, but we were also worried about our job safety. The word obliterated is a powerful word. Oh, yeah, especially when it's being said in reference to you and your people, white males. It's like when they talk about obliterating whiteness. I mean, that should have everybody white concerned when they hear people talking about obliterating whiteness. How would black people feel if we started talking about obliterating blackness? You know, they can claim that whiteness can somehow be separated from white men all they like, but they're essentially talking about what it means to be white. They're talking about the white identity, the way that white people are. And the way that white people are is charitable, merciful, honest. We believe in order. We believe in hard work and being rewarded for hard work. And we don't believe in nepotism, and we don't believe in discriminating against people. It's us that are the ones that are being discriminated against. The gender pay gap was mortifying for the company because it was an awful gap, and their approach was to go gung-ho on who they perceived to be the enemy. They rigged up a kangaroo court and they fired us. And imagine that. You've worked really hard for this company. You've actually built up a really good reputation for it, and then suddenly you are perceived to be the enemy simply because of what gender you are. Mr. Jenner's lawyer told us there is nothing inclusive or productive about vilifying one group of people in order to lift up another. As this decision demonstrates, there is nothing lawful about it either. And again, this is the good thing, because hopefully people will be able to refer to this case and say, look, this is this is not on, because they say they want to get more diversity into various businesses, but you can't go about doing that by getting rid of the white people that are in there. And of course, we know that that is all that diversity means, really, is replacing white people with non-whites. Britain was 99.9% white right up until a couple of years after the Second World War. So to say that you want to increase diversity just means you want to change that. And in order to change that, you have to remove white people and replace them with non-whites. Either that, or they have to double the size of all the businesses to get more diversity in. There isn't another way of doing this. And yet these people that have been discriminated against here, they seem to believe that isn't actually the point of this, and there must be another way of doing it. The only way to do it is to have a meritocracy and just employ the people that are qualified. And then if there aren't many non-whites in the job, or there aren't many whites, women in the job, then the reason for that is because they're not qualified enough for the job. But of course, that would take away the excuse, wouldn't it, that it's discrimination that's causing it. Three other male creatives who were sacked settled out of court, Mr. Bayfield said. Again, so this is good. So these two insisted on taking this to court and making a precedent with the case rather than just taking the money. So what they've done is said, look, we need to take this to court for all the other people that are being discriminated against. It's no good us just settling for cash and it not going to court. So, you know, these two men, you have to give them credit for that. The complainant said today that his redundancy was a tragic example of how the battle against discrimination was victimizing people who aren't particularly vulnerable, like British men. Well, speak for yourself. Anybody who relies on their job for their income is vulnerable, isn't he? If a man gets his job taken away and he's got a wife and a family, and all white men are now vulnerable with these diversity quotas and this push to replace whites with non-whites. If you're a white man and you wanted to become a policeman, then, you know, you're going to have difficulties doing that now. All the work that you put into studying and hoping to become a policeman, that could all go out the window now. There was a case last year, actually, of that happening. There was a chap and his father was a police officer, and he had trained to become a policeman, and he had all the top qualifications, and he was not given the job. They said, well, we've already got enough white people. We need more non-whites. And he took that case to court as well. And I think he won as well. He won some payback for that. But I still don't think he's actually in the police force, even after studying and being trained up for it all his life. In an exclusive interview, Mr. Bayfield said, I feel very pleased at the result. I think the agency was believing it was doing the right thing and wanted to be seen to be diverse and on the side of all the people who have been historically overlooked. Well, really? Have non-whites been here historically? No, they haven't. They've only been here for the last 70 years. So how can you say that they've been historically overlooked? Women only entered the workforce after the war, didn't they? Women weren't in the workforce before then. Men provided for them. They didn't have to work. They had everything provided for them, and a man could earn enough to keep a wife and a family up to that point. It wasn't that women were being overlooked. It was that they were too sensible to believe in this feminism con. They knew that they would be more well looked after, being looked after by a husband that loved them rather than a boss in a business. They had their shocking pay gap figures, which were the worst in the whole industry, and they wanted to do something really quickly. And there was this knee-jerk reaction at a conference that they spoke at. But I felt very much like they were taking discrimination from one place and putting it in another place, which was completely the wrong way to do it. There were so many other ways that they could fix that problem. Well, again, that's what this is, isn't it? It is discrimination against whites. I don't know whether they haven't actually worked this out yet or whether they're still trying to be politically correct in their responses here. He continues, I was fully on board with the notion that it was a problem which needed fixing, and we do need to get more people from different cultures in different countries and more women in high positions. Why is it a problem that needs fixing? Surely if the company is doing well, that's the point of the company. That is capitalism, isn't it? Is you want the company to do well. You want to do your best for your shareholders. And if you're not doing your best for your shareholders, then you know it's against the law, and you're sabotaging your own company. And yet, if it's diversity, oh, that's perfectly fine. You're welcome to sabotage your company then. And that's what's going on, isn't it? A lot of these companies are losing profits hand over fist because they're promoting diversity. But as Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson pointed out the other day, a lot of the reasons for these advertising companies doing that and losing money is because they have connections to BlackRock, and BlackRock bails them out and sends them lots of money, and they're owned by BlackRock, and BlackRock have this overriding urge to promote progressivism. So when you look at companies like Gillette, I bet they've got a connection to BlackRock, and that's why they put out that advert that caused them to lose so much money. Mr. Bayfield continues, I ended up speaking out, saying that the tone used in that talk actually makes it sound like you are going to fix the problem by getting rid of us, British straight men of a certain age. And that is where it all kicked off. And their response to that was really quite explosive. And 2 days later, we were on a list to be made redundant. So he was entirely correct, wasn't he? That is how they were going to fix this. They were just going to replace whites, and that's because that's what diversity is. It just means less white people. A judge ruled that JWT bosses unfairly got rid of Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner, 52 and 50 at the time, because it immediately assisted the gender pay gap issue. The London Central Tribunal heard both men are straight, white, and British, and their work regularly received praise from colleagues and industry peers. But in April 2018, a gender pay gap report revealed there was a pay gap of 44%. Miss Wallace had been brought in 5 months earlier on the need to shake up the creative team to ensure they were seen as experts in non-traditional advertising, and to lose the reputation as the Knightsbridge Boys Club. Miss Wallace, who has been described as a fearless champion of female success, held the hard-hitting diversity presentation with Executive Creative Director Lucas Peon in May 2018. It caused controversy when Miss Wallace said JWT's reputation, white, British, privileged, straight men creating traditional, above-the-line advertising, needed to be abolished. I bet that did cause controversy, telling them that their reputation needed to be abolished. Later, Mr. Bayfield sent an email to a boss saying, I found out recently JWT did a talk off-site where it vowed to obliterate white, middle-class, straight people from its creative department. There are a lot of very worried people down here. Mr. Peon and Emma Hoyle, the company's HR director, called a meeting with Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner to discuss their concerns about job safety. Though Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner said they believe women and minorities should have a fair chance, well, don't we all believe everyone should have a fair chance? They were angrily accused of challenging the diversity pledge. Employment judge Mark Emery said they were treated in such a hostile manner it amounted to victimisation. Judge Emery said both Miss Hoyle and Mr. Peon were angry from the outset of the meeting, and it continued in this vein. Voices were raised by Mr. Peon and Miss Hoyle, and Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner were forced to defend their position. Their explanations were not at that time accepted, and their points of view were angrily dismissed. There was a failure to accept that they had any valid concerns about the presentation. Their views were regarded as unacceptable, and within 2 days it had been decided that Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner would lose their jobs to redundancies. Mr. Peon had unfairly made his mind up before even carrying out an assessment of other senior creatives to see who would be axed. He claimed their performance was at fault, but the judge ruled that the work never had any concerns. Judge Emery said, "We concluded there was a consensus among the company's senior management team that Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner had overstepped the mark with their comments in their emails and at the meeting, that there was anger at what the company considered a challenge to their plans on the gender pay gap issue." The judge added, "We considered that a significant factor in the company's bosses' minds at this time was the gender pay gap issue, and that a reason for dismissing Mr. Bayfield and Mr. Jenner was that there would be an impact, both in terms of the figures and by the prospect of then having senior positions opening which could be filled by women. We consider that this factor, their sex, was on the mind of the company when determining to dismiss them, an equal factor with that of the anger at their complaints. This would immediately assist the gender pay gap issue within the creative team. It would rid the team of two creative directors who were, because of their sex, seen as resistant to change. Also, female creative directors were exactly what the company were seeking, and a woman in a similar position would not have faced the same backlash, the judge added. So it wasn't to do with race, it was just to do with the fact that they were men, and if it had been a woman, she wouldn't have been sacked, obviously, because they were trying to replace men with women at this company, and they're trying to destroy the company's good reputation. It really doesn't deserve to have a good reputation after this, does it? Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.